Hello, you beautiful humans, and welcome to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, episode 162.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain, and you are listening to the Nerdcast. But what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
How y'all doing tonight?
Good on this end.
Bob, Adam, anything? No?
I think the kids would say it's lit over here.
I don't know.
I'm not sure about that.
That felt like an amateur roll-in. I'm not so sure about lit.
Lit? I don't know about lit. We're all here. I'm Tyler. That was Iggy and Bob. No, Bob didn't say anything. And Adam.
I started to say something, but then
there's Bob. And Adam's there too.
He tried to say something, but it was just too lit at Adam's place for Bob to get a word in.
I think he was just trying to get over whatever Adam's new slang. I dig it.
Awesome. So episode 162, Tyler pointed out we're all here. It's been a while, guys. It has been a while. We've got conventions that have happened. We've got family weddings, things happening, travel, all kinds of stuff. So we've been all over the place, which is typical with summers. I mean, that's a good sign, right? All those things sound fantastic, and they are. But we're here finally together, mainly because we have one massive thing to talk about. But we'll cover a number of things tonight. I know we're excited. There was still a lot of exciting news. People more excited about things, certain things happening than I even thought they would be. But most importantly, I want to share with you guys that my house is haunted. I have learned this. I have just come to this conclusion about an hour before we started recording.
Counterpoint, no, it isn't, because ghosts aren't real.
Yeah, dude, my house is totally haunted too. You don't let Tyler's negativity bring you down.
So I explain
your situation, please.
I've got my condo back in March, I think it was around March, early March. I got this condo and moved in. And every once in a while, I have like a knock at the door and I go check the door and nobody's there. And I had earlier come to the conclusion that some of the neighborhood kids that I see play outside are just, you know, the ding dong, old school ding dong ditching it, whatever, no big deal. Or maybe, you know, they've tried to play with my kids a few times. They've played with my kids a few times. So maybe they were coming to see the kids. Maybe they were trying to come play with my kids is what I was trying to say there. So as it's continued, the knock has definitely become much more intense. So this is either a very gigantic child playing ding dong ditch, or there's an adult playing ding dong ditch at my house.
There's a very shy neighbor who wants to play with you.
I guess. Supposedly one of my neighbors is a big convention person and all this stuff too. And so maybe, I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities here. We get a lot of packages. I mean, a lot of possibilities.
There could also just be a completely unreasonable and mundane explanation.
No, Tyler. No, do not. Hold on. So the last two times, including tonight, I've heard the screen door open. And so as the knock is like happening, I'm to the door, like pretty much to the door as the knock is finishing up, like no big time lapse or anything like that. And I look out the peephole or whatever, and there's nobody there. So this time the screen door opens and I dart to the door because I want to be there because I'm like, I'm going to catch this really large and heavy knocking kid that keeps knocking on my door. So the screen door opens, the knock happens, I open the door, nobody there. Like, it is in the matter of mere seconds that all these things happen. So not like it knocked and I slowly got up and went over there, but as soon as that screen door opened, I didn't sprint, but I moved pretty quickly to the door. So I was at the door as the knock happened, opened it, nothing. And in front of my condo is across the street is the pool. There's the street in front of me, and to the left, there's grassy area and our parking. So there's no like easy place to just immediately hide. What you got for me there, Tyler? What you got for me?
Those are just like 3 to 4 minutes of my life I'm never going to get back. But thank you. Your house is not haunted. I'm gonna buy you a Ring doorbell and sit it and mount it so that we can find out what super mundane thing is happening. You know, like the wind or whatever. because it's your house is not haunted.
That's some interesting wind if it's knocking that way. Now, Adam believes me. Why? Adam said his place is haunted too.
Well, I mean, so 2 points of clarification. Yes, I believe you. But two, it's not your house, it's outside. So I don't know if you get to really say your house is haunted.
Somebody died at my front door, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? The weird things happen. So I have a similar thing. I moved in, it was about a year ago, a little over a year ago. Like the first week we are here, there's a noise in the kitchen. And we look over and both of our cats are sitting in the kitchen staring at the dishwasher. Like, okay. That's cool.
First thing right there. If both cats are staring at something that normally stare at, questions are to be asked.
Yeah, it was super creepy. We're like, okay, that's weird. We don't use the dishwasher because we're two human beings, and so we use our plates and wash our plates like God intended. And then, so we're like, okay, no big deal. Then it pretty much continually happens. They're you know, weekly. Noise at the dishwasher, cat looking at it. I'm like, okay, I'm not really not okay with this. And, you know, so we just do the nice thing like, okay, you know, you're hanging out in the dishwasher. That's cool. Just be cool. You're cool. We're cool. Everybody's cool. Don't do anything weird. Don't do anything crazy. So I'm with you, Iggy. These things happen. And Tyler, I thought you wanted to believe, buddy. This hurts me a little bit.
Ghost roommates are like spider roommates. You just give them their space, they give you your space, right?
I do want to believe in things like, I don't know, you know, extraterrestrials or things based on logic and science. Ghosts aren't real. Stop it.
Maybe he's got a predator situation.
Quote unquote wind. Yeah, it could be predators sitting outside the door.
There is a 100% perfectly reasonable explanation for both the things that you have
just dropped off 4K.
Today. Like ghosts.
Iggy, we're just going to send a short little lady to come and cleanse your house.
This house is clear.
Anyways, houses are haunted.
Can I get the Native American instead of the short lady?
The short lady. John Constantine can take care of my place. But anyways, we believe Tyler doesn't. So with that, Bob, why don't you give us a rundown on last weekend's box office results as we had Winnie the Pooh facing off versus Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Did you just say Winnie the Pooh?
Winnie the Pooh, dude. Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 27?
Something like that. Well, hey, there were four films that opened last week. They got Christopher Robin, Spy Who Dumped Me, The Darkest Minds, and Death of a Nation. Everybody was thinking that Christopher Robbins was going to jump ahead of Mission Impossible, but lo and behold, Tom Cruise held on to the lead. He had about $35 million for the weekend. Second place was Christopher Robbins with $24 million, and The Spy Who Dumped Me with the low end of expectations was about $12 million. Surprisingly, the fourth place is still Mamma Mia. Who is seeing this movie? I don't know. But
we have a review up on our site, dude. Somebody went and saw it.
Okay, somebody saw it. But
it's in the title. Here we go again. The same people are the ones who are seeing it. They just take it very literally.
It has made $91 million, and it's really close to what the original did. So the same people who saw the first one are seeing the second one. Fifth place is Equalizer 2. It's up about $80 million. So, you know, and then when you get down a little bit further, The Darkest Minds, which is the most current young adult novel that's being made into a movie, nobody's seeing that. It did about maybe $5 million. And in the top 10, you got the very end, you got Incredibles 2, which is like $583 million, and Teen Titans with $20 million. The big news over the weekend, though, was Black Panther hit $700 million. It's only the third film to ever hit $700 million domestically at the box office.
That's crazy. And what was the global number two up to? I saw the announcement. I can't remember.
Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head. It's
the global number still not – like it's still not – it's just barely top 10. I think it's like $1.3 billion or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still like – I mean, it's past Infinity War now for domestic, but it's still like $700 million behind.
Yeah, it's still behind it, yeah.
Worldwide.
Yeah,
you literally just said the sentence. It's only 1.3 billion worldwide. I mean,
God, man. Yeah, dude, like eight other movies have made more
money. Bob, you're talking about who's seeing Mamma Mia. People are still seeing Black Panther. I mean, that's a fantastic movie, but
yeah, I mean, it was like
February.
It had to make like, I think it was like $55,000-$60,000 for it to break 700 million, and it went over by maybe like $3,000. So yeah, it's been out on video for a month and a half, and people are still seeing it at the theater.
I'm just pondering what my ghost and I would do with $1.3 billion. Anyways, yeah, that's so Mission Impossible. Adam, did you end up seeing it? I know Tyler and Bob saw it as well as I did.
No.
You still haven't seen it?
No, I'm not going. No, I've.
It's good. It's really
I'm
good.
Sure it's good, but I don't know. I don't.
It'll blow. Yeah, here's the thing.
Here's my. I would give you a pass on this if I didn't know for a fact you have, since it came out, gone and see The Spy Who Dumped Me in theaters.
I did go see A Spy Who Dumped Me.
I know. That's why he's saying you don't get a pass for missing Mission Impossible.
Why?
Because you saw A Spy Who Dumped Me over Mission Impossible.
They're totally different movies, you weirdos.
It's not like
action movie. I saw a good comedy.
Crappy action movie.
And if I'm going to make a comparison between which one of these two do I like see in a big, awesome, cool IMAX theater and which one do I wait to, you know, stream at home, it definitely goes the other direction because this one.
I don't have a big, awesome, cool IMAX theater, Tyler.
In IMAX, that movie is phenomenal.
It looks so good in IMAX. So good.
So
much Tom Cruise running. Why don't you need more? In your life.
And facts are that Tom Cruise movies have better reviews and higher box office numbers based on how much he runs in a movie. Articles about that out there on the web.
And he runs a lot in this one, and it's some really good runs.
He does. And one of my favorite things about the Mission Impossible movies is the stunt sequences are so good because you get real shots of what's going on. So Tom Cruise being the first actor to do a halo jump for a major motion picture, it's fantastic because when Cavill jumps, you obviously get the typical cut that you would get for anybody else. The guy walks off the plane, you get the back of him, the voiceover as he's talking back, he's gone. Tom Cruise, you've got the cameraman jumping out of the plane with him. You can see his face. You see him fall. It's the same when he makes the jump in the trailer, all that. You get long cuts to where you're not just getting a weird angle or a back angle of the stunt double that kind of looks like him. You're seeing the actual person do these, and I think it just improves the action sequences that much more.
I mean, the halo jump was cool. The rooftop chase was cool. The motorcycle chase was cool. I think the best like one that looked the coolest on film other than like spectacle is when he's hanging from that helicopter. That's so good.
It's insane. Yeah.
He learned to fly the helicopter. It took him a year and a half to learn how to fly a helicopter.
It's fantastic. Tom Cruise, he has a death wish. He does. He wants to like die on film, I think. But it makes his movies that much better.
Oh, he's legitimately a crazy person.
Well, he died last year with The Mummy. That was terrible.
But anyways, it was a fantastic movie. The Mission Impossible movies are just great. Overall, as a whole series, really good. And I felt this one was just up there with the best of them. And it is from open to close. It is nonstop action. It is just pure adrenaline rush.
I'll say it right now. It is, for me, the best film of the summer so far.
It's quiet elsewhere because we're all, up.
Yeah, I mean, define the start of the summer.
Where does the summer start, Bob?
I will say even better than Infinity War.
I was going to ask that. You think it's better than Avengers? Man, Avengers spent so much time talking about it, the tone it set, the way they accomplish something movies don't.
But if certain people would see Mission Impossible, then we could talk about it.
Well, when does the summer start? I need you to give me a date.
I'm not worried about you guys spoiling Mission Impossible. Tom Cruise does crazy stuff. Things happen. Good guys win. Bad guys lose. I mean, it's not. I'm not really concerned about plot points here, buddy.
Well, one, the rest of our audience might be concerned about it, or some of it. Two, really, the Mission Impossible movies are not as simple as you're trying to sit here and pretend they are. Like, it's just a typical action movie.
It's a complex story.
I feel it's the same with the Daniel Craig Bonds. They have gotten much more complex and much deeper in terms of the villains they're dealing with and the type of, like, not just the type of action, but what is happening. It's no longer just, ooh, bad guy has his island, pets his cat, and you go get him and stop him. it's now like, you know, terrorist organizations, like nuclear weapons falling. It's some intense stuff. And this one, seriously, the opening scene, which all Mission Impossible movies opening scenes are usually a fun action sequence, or, you know, if not action, at least thriller type sequence. But it seems like then the credits roll and then it's just nonstop.
Yeah. And there are some amazing twists in this plot. Just mind blowing.
That we won't spoil for you, Adam, on this simple plot with its amazing twist.
You guys are going to have to, then we're going to have to wait 6 months. All right.
So, well, we're going to need to anyway. So before we move on, Tyler did have a question for Bob. What's the opening day for your statement here of best movie of the summer? Because he wants to challenge you, obviously.
Okay. Well,
I don't know that I'm gonna. I'm not. I know. I don't know that I'm gonna do that. But I need to know when the date. Does it? You wait. Is it June? Is it May? Is it April?
I mean. I'm technically. I think the beginning of the summer is the 1st of May. For summer movies. Yeah, Avengers snuck in before.
So you're gonna put it above Avengers, Incredibles, Jurassic World, Deadpool.
Yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Solo.
Yeah. Yeah, anything above Solo.
Ocean's 8, yeah, Solo Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Ready Player One was early April.
That was
March.
March, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I would say I'm the only one I could think of that I would Infinity War and Deadpool 2 are, I think, the two that could give it a run for its money.
I'm with you on that one, Tyler. I would possibly, just because of how much I've loved the Mission Impossibles, and it has a fond memory of like my grandpa showing me the old TV show and everything. So maybe leaning towards that, because I also wasn't as favorable for Deadpool, but
so this
I don't know
is,
if I can give it over the Avengers.
I think the better argument it is, and this is the one a lot of people have had, is it the best Mission Impossible movie? Because I think I'll throw this out here and see what you guys think. I think the best Mission Impossible movie is between three movies, and that is Mission Impossible 3, this one, and Rogue Nation. I think those are generally agreed to be the best three. Maybe the first one a little bit. The first one is still really
good. None of those have Emilio Estevez, so I feel like you're
right
immediately discounting the first one.
I know. I kind of liked that. I liked Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol was really good. I think Rogue Nation was better.
That was the one that really kind of pushed it toward the big stunts and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that was Brad Bird, and Brad Bird knows how to shoot some fun
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
But
I would say that one's fun, but I'm with you, Tyler. Those three you would probably.
And the third one is only up there just because it's Philip Seymour Hoffman is
so good.
Because it wasn't two.
And that's the first one that we get Benji, isn't it?
It's the first one we get Simon Pegg. It is exact, Adam, as much as you're joking, it's a redeemer for number two. It really is. Because I didn't even see three at the theater because of how bad I didn't like two. But we're also dismissing that whole bridge scene. That whole bridge scene in number three is fantastic. Like, I mean, that sets it up there towards the top of the Mission Impossible movies, that one scene.
Speaking of which, they're doing a release of the soundtrack on vinyl at Mondo, and it looks real good.
Yep. That's probably happening. So, all right. Well, that's obviously what's going on in the box office. August, usually a little bit slower than the rest of the summer, but still plenty to see, unless you have a movie pass. Because if you have a movie pass, you might not be seeing as much as you thought you would. And Ouch. That's because, well, I mean, we've talked about it for a year now. I was on board pretty much from the get-go on the new price point. Got excited for it. December, I hit the annual membership because they gave it at a discount and everything like that. All along the way, I think we've all been on the same page. They're business model is not sustainable. And the changes they're making, which again this month, which we'll get into some of the changes, are not changes to make it sustainable. You're saying, here, give me $10 and you go see as many movies as you want a month. Okay, we're losing too much money that way. Okay, give me $10 and now you can only go see three movies a month. So in this, you're not spending as much per subscriber. But the plan is still I'm getting $10 from you and then giving you at least $30 for that month. So I'm still losing $20. So
I just
don't know how this is sustainable, even with this change.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I hear you getting like worked up about it, but like whoever thought it was sustainable? Like, there was at no point did anyone look at this and be like, oh, this is gonna be a thing that goes on forever. Like, I think it was very clearly a stock pump. Like, they had never, like, so MoviePass has been around for a long time prior to the $10 plan, but it was $50 a month, which is still, if you go to enough movies, a really good deal. But it was very, their subscriber base was in the tens of thousands. Like, it was a very niche product for people who go and see tons and tons and tons of movies. They got bought out, like the company that used to buy, they got bought by another company that was like, you know, into other things. And then we're like, we're going to, you know, drive, we have to, we're going to drive subscriptions over, you know, sustainability, which is what they did. And they had very vague, I mean, I'm not on the border, but they had very vague, like, well, here's how we'll get it back on. We're going to produce our own content and we're going to make deals with theaters, which was short-sighted at best. And they did the same thing they assume with a lot of, they treated it like it was a gym membership. Like, all the people who never go are going to subsidize all the people who go every day. And that was not a thing that ever happened. I can't.
Well, a big part of what they were going to do to, what was the ideas to make it sustainable was, like saying, we're bringing more people to your theater, so you're going to give us a cut of your tickets and you're going to give us a cut of your concessions because you make so much money on concessions. But instead, they just didn't make friends with these theaters. They kind of made enemies. So all the theaters, especially the main chains, have just said, we can do the same exact thing, but make them only come to us. And so AMC has done their Prime one, and the Draft House has rolled out one. Regal now has one. It's revolutionized the way we go see movies. But exactly, once they did not make friends, which was pretty much at the announcement of the new price point, once they did not make friends with the new theaters, it was out the window of this ever surviving.
Yeah, well, the minute they announced their price point, AMC came out. Like, they obviously didn't. Like, if that's your plan, like, if your plan for feasibility is the cooperation of these other giant companies like AMC, maybe you give them a little heads up. Maybe make a couple deals there on the side before you do it. Like, they obviously had no idea what they were doing. Like, I'm not sure if this was stupidity or they just knew what they were going to run it into the ground first thing. Like, that's what the plan was. Like, we're going to pump the stock. We're going to drive huge member base. And then I don't know if they assumed there was going to be a pivot at some point, but I also think they just made terrible assumptions about how often people were going to go see as many movies as they could for only $10 a month. Like, this is like I said, like, they tried to base it on things like gym membership, where like all the people who don't use it pay for the people who do. Like, but this isn't something that people have to force themselves to do. It was going to see movies, and it was going to see movies at a cut rate cost. Like, it was, I don't know. I don't, I, at no move that they've made since the beginning of the announcement of a $10 a month plan seems to have been made by anyone who either A, stopped and thought about how it was going to work for 10 fucking seconds, or B, someone who had any plans of like this being a sustainable model. I don't know. I mean, maybe there was something else that they had in the pipeline that just fell through, but nothing about this ever at any point said like, oh yeah, this is a thing that's going to continue to be around for a while.
So a few things, a few questions. Bob, this one's for you because you also have MoviePass. I've done the math on my end. I'm still paid through December, which I believe, Bob, you're the one who pointed out, if you're on the prepaid annual membership because you agreed to unlimited movies for $9.95 a month, or at least that annual rate, they can't change it on us. So correct. I'm, even though they can possibly still black out certain movies. So for example, right now, they said after August 15th, when it goes to three movies a month, they're removing the blackout restrictions. As of right now, if I look to see a movie this week, like during the weeknight, the only times they're giving me are like the 10:30, 10:40 showings. And that's to limit me from going, obviously, because it's a weeknight, work, school, that type of stuff. And I haven't seen, well, I saw last weekend when they had fixed the app again and had it running, and it was still restricted to the big releases. I couldn't see Christopher Robin. I couldn't see Mission Impossible if I wanted to. But there was still a lot of options. I mean, I had the kids this past weekend. I could have gone to Teen Titans. I could have, you know, a lot of things there. But the time, there were plenty of time. So they've limited me. But anyways, my point being, as of now, before I even finish riding this horse until it dies, I'm already below $4 a movie on based on how many movies I've seen for how much I've paid in total. Did you do the math on yours to see where you're at, or did you get a value basically at this point?
I mean, I definitely am getting value. I'm seeing with the A-list, with the AMC, I'm basically seeing two movies a week. And if you're pay, I mean, you're paying $19.99, $21 with tax. I mean, I probably already made my money back on my first IMAX 3D movie. That's the thing, you know, I think the thing that's making the A-list is so much more valuable is that you're not only just restricted to certain movies that MoviePass has. With the A-list, you're not restricted to the type of theater you're seeing it in. You can see it in a Dolby Cinema. You can see it in IMAX. You can see it in 3D. You can see it in any format that you want. With MoviePass, yeah, you're stuck with that plain, small theater that we used to all go to here in Manhattan, Kansas, that stunk. You know, those are the type of theaters. But hey, if I can use the MoviePass and if I can use the A-list pass and go see something in IMAX, heck yeah, that's going to make my money back really quick.
And I'll switch to A-list here soon when it all changes over, because that's what's right next to me. And but the question I had for all of you guys, which is kind of just so if I'm the CEO, I come over from Netflix. Netflix has the flat subscription fee. I'm going to say this is what we're going to do. May not be thinking long term, or may even long term just be thinking, I'm putting us on the map. This is going to be great for my resume. Turn this company around at least short term, yada, yada, yada. As a programmer, or as like a lower level position, like we all knew from day one this wasn't going to work. So as a programmer who took a job there, like, did you just keep your resume updated the whole time? Like, what were you thinking was going to happen within the next couple of years?
Well, I'm with Tyler. I think they just rolled it out badly, because the plan works if you get the theaters on board. But if you come out and say, we're going to let you see all of, you know, one movie a day, 30 movies a month effectively for $10, as a company, then you have no leverage with the theaters. Like there just isn't any, because you're like, oh, well, you give us some of the money from the concessions, and they're going to be like, no. Like, why? Why would we? You're going to go out of business and we'll just copy your model and people will pay us money instead of paying you money, which is exactly what all of the theaters are doing.
We're getting the same
leverage to get anything.
Yeah, we're getting the same ticket price regardless of you buy the ticket for them or they buy the ticket for themselves. Like,
right. Yeah, we make our money, and yes, they are spending more in concessions, but we're not giving any of that to you.
Like, yeah, you still had to buy the ticket from us. Like, you should have come in ahead of time. Here's the other thing is, like, I don't know what the number is for it to be feasible. We're like, where is the cutoff? Where's the cutoff between how high do we have to make it for us to be sustainable, in the sense that it's high enough that not enough people sign up for it to use it enough to drive us under, versus too many people use it and overuse it to drive us under. But like, they were at $50, which was working. It wasn't super popular, but it was working. And then 10, there's a lot of numbers in between there they could have chosen, but they went for the splashy. They did what websites, like, you know, like apps and startup companies do. You have to drive, it's like Twitter or whatever. It's like, let's get as many users as we can, and then we'll figure out how to monetize it. The problem is they had this built-in huge uncontrollable cash outflow that they couldn't stop. It wasn't like they were providing like a website or a free service or whatever. They were providing a service that required them to shell out cash every time someone used their app. So like, if there was a pivot in mind, they waited way too fucking long to make it. Like, there was nothing about this that was ran well, I guess.
Yeah. If they would have gone with the electronic tickets, you know, just, you know, do it off the phone instead of using Visa cards, I mean, that might have worked, but, you know, because they're basically putting that amount for a ticket on a Visa card that you run through the scanner at the theater. I mean, yeah, that's where all that money went. I mean, like I said, if they would have done electronic ticketing, it might have worked a lot better.
Yeah, but electronic marketing is another thing that requires the theater to get on board,
right? Which, exactly. Yeah.
And then they had to change the rules how many times, because of, like, for, you said you were loading the credit card to buy the ticket. I know people who abused it, and they had to change the rules because there were people who would buy a $10 movie pass, sign up to see a movie, have money loaded on the card, and then walk across the street and buy lunch with it. Because it was just a Visa card that had money on it. So then they had to change the rules about like taking pictures of your ticket and doing all that kind of stuff. Like there were so many numerous missteps from beginning to end from the launch of this. Like, I'm surprised it stayed. They must have had a huge amount of investment ahead of time. Like, they must have had a big, you know, cash investment to start with, because I'm surprised it stayed solvent as long as it did.
Well, they did. They had at least at three times publicly indicated through to the winter big investments, big angel type investments that were like supporting them. I think it was about March or April's when that money started turning into emergency loans. And that's definitely where it's like, it's done. Because now you've gone from somebody who invested who took a shot with you to this bank saying, whatever happens, I want this back with that percentage I added to the top of it when you signed for it. And because you signed it under an emergency circumstances, that percentage probably isn't as favorable as it would have been had you signed it, you know, whenever ago. But,
and you know what's interesting now is MoviePass is now getting into the movie making business. They're producing a new Bruce Willis movie that they just announced today.
Yeah. Well, that was apparently always part of their plan for making money. Like, we're going to lose money here, but we're going to do this concession thing and we're going to make our own content, like go the Netflix route. You don't have any channel with which to, I don't know. No one can start up and do what they did and do it better now, because we still have the same product, because now all the other companies are going to do their own version of it. Like you said, AMC and Regal, and we'll still have the same ability to do the same thing, but now we'll just be siloed, which is what happens with every one of these services. First, it was only Netflix, but now Netflix is losing content and now you're siloed. Do you get Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and whatever Disney streaming services, whatever DC streaming services, and Crunchyroll and HBO Go, when before there was just the one? But this is how all these things, someone does it well or badly, and then everyone else jumps on board and does their own version of it and gets their cut. So I don't know. I'll probably sign up for A-List because there's a ton of AMCs near me. I would like to be able to do the Draft House one, but I think it's easier just to go to one of the 20 AMCs in the greater KC area. So
that's always it. You know, I'd prefer the Draft House as well, but the AMC's right here. If I'm going to go see a movie spur of the moment Monday night, or if I'm going to go to a Thursday night premiere, I'm not driving down to a Draft House, which, Tyler, you're the same way. There's one in town, but it's a little bit of a distance, and I'm not going to make that drive for those types of movies. And I'd use it less when the AMC is one, like, I just jump on the highway, one exit up, and I'm there. So might as well just do the AMC one.
And AMC, because they're doing it in-house, I mean, at $20 a month, I'm still going to get my money's worth as long as I see at least two movies a month. I'll see more than that. Plus, AMC, you know, is the controller of the content with which they're providing. So they'll get their money from me through concessions, through my monthly service fee. Like, they were already the ones setting the ticket prices. I just, I don't know. There was no way that MoviePass was ever going to be successful. It was never going to happen.
Definitely. And we were all in agreement with it from day one. It's been a fun ride.
Put a fork in it.
Not yet. I'm still riding it.
Over or under, when do they go bankrupt? Like, when does the service shut down? Do they make it to the end of the year? I doubt it.
I don't think they make it to the end of the year doing what they're doing. I think at some point it stops and they just say, we can't do this. And then I think at some point in the next year or so, they relaunch again with some kind of, like you said, $30 to $50 model for so many movies a month and remain a company. But there's definitely going to be, I think, a blackout window there where they're just like, we can't do this. We need to shut down and figure out whatever the hell we're going to do going forward.
But they've lost their legitimacy from all this. If they even attempt to come back, it's going to fail again.
And now with a lot of debt. All right. So with that, let's talk a little bit about what's on the screens, both big and small. One of the big announcements that just happened the day we're recording, which became much bigger than I ever thought it would be, but I forget how much people love Ruby Rose. We shared it actually when it got announced back at San Diego Comic-Con that CW is doing, as they do every year, a massive crossover event with all their DC shows. This one, though, would feature Batwoman. And they had a cool little trailer that had some of the animated like effects with the comic characters going. And they teased a Batwoman, but didn't have her cast. and didn't obviously show anything with her in that teaser trailer. But today they announced Ruby Rose will be taking on the hero, Batwoman. And it's huge because she is also a significant lesbian character. So it's huge for the community to have that, as it's the first one on TV is what I've been reading. I tried to think about it, and I think they might be right. It is our first major comic superhero that is lesbian or gay to be portrayed on TV. And Ruby Rose will be doing it, who is a hit in any community, it seems like. All right, so what are the impressions on Ruby Rose as clearly a young Miss Kane here, another wealthy family from Gotham taking on the role as Batwoman?
I'm excited. I love her.
I like Ruby Rose a lot, but I also don't watch any of those shows. So I've watched clips of all their crossovers just to see how they make everyone interact. But I also, having watched some of the crossover episodes from one of their Crisis something, I feel like there's other characters on the show that have been introduced that were superhero adjacent or superheroes that were, you know, LGBT. But maybe I'm wrong. I feel like one of the Legends of Tomorrow characters or someone. I don't know. Maybe not.
But there was one. I can't remember exactly who it was.
But it's exciting. She's cool. I liked her. And I'm just trying to think about stuff like I've seen her in. And I think part of it is just there's one thing about her that everyone likes, and that is CW's forte. And it's that if we're going to have a television show and it is going to have anyone in it, those people will be literally the most attractive people you have ever seen in your life. Mm-hmm. Doubly true for their superhero movies. There are no ugly people in the Arrowverse. There are really attractive people and incredibly attractive people. And Ruby Rose definitely falls in that category. So that's definitely step one. Step two, she's just cool. She's model, DJ, actress. She doesn't do anything where she doesn't look cool. Orange and the New Black, she was okay. I liked her in John Wick. But then I realized she says exactly zero words in the entire movie of John Wick. So she was in something else. What's that sci-fi show that she popped up in that I really, Dark Matter. Guest starring role in Dark Matter. I thought that was pretty
good. Actually, she's in The Meg this weekend.
Oh, that's right. She's in The Meg, which nobody everyone's going to go see it. It's going to be dope. Big giant shark. Who doesn't like big sharks?
No way. Right. It's like the shark movies you've seen, except the shark is bigger, Iggy. I mean, like, I don't know why you're thinking that could possibly go wrong.
Why don't you want to see this? Megalodon.
Anyways, I think Ruby Rose is that persona. I don't even know personality, because again, in a lot of the stuff, she's got this persona more so that kind of precedes her than a personality. But anyways, that persona she puts off, I think it's very fitting to the more recent Catherine Kane that we've seen in the DC comics, specifically from the New 52 and everything like that. This more younger, cooler, hip, I'm don't take any crap like Batman, but I'm also kind of cool and sexy about it type thing going. So I think she can take the role on. And exactly as Tyler pointed out, like, they weren't going to cast anybody that didn't look top tier, you know, in terms of Hollywood's beauty standards. But I think overall, I can see her as this character, I guess is what I'm trying to say. All right, a lot of head nods. Yeah, not a lot of CW watching.
I mean, we have a lot of, well, we all have the same opinion of this. I mean, it's cool. She's going to do just fine.
Well,
continue. Everybody who watches the Arrowverse is going to love it. So it's all good.
Continuing with television, let's go straight to, Star Trek. Another huge announcements this week, which I think also everybody in the geek community was even more excited than the Ruby Rose news, is Patrick Stewart returning to Star Trek. We get a Captain Picard television series now. Everybody giddy about that?
Yeah, I mean, just for the number of Make It So GIFs that have been on the internet today, and, you know, since they announced it, it's worth it just for that.
And we'll get an entire refresh of facepalm gifts.
Like, yeah. Oh, I mean, it's going to be fantastic, especially if it goes wrong. The sheer number of facepalm gifts will be, you won't be able to get away from it. I'm excited. You know, Tyler, we kind of talked about it last time, so a couple weeks back. Very cool. Like, I'd like new Star Wars stuff, but I'll take some more Picard. I'm all right with that too.
Yes, but I will give them points because it is Picard post The Next Generation, which means we're finally moving forward in the goddamn start timeline again. So that's exciting. We're not going back to before the thing, before the thing, before the thing, so that we can do 12 crossovers with the thing that, oh, let me explain this thing that happened 12 series from now, 100 years from now, is totally because of this one thing that happened in a show we made 30 years later.
Is this going to be the Logan-esque version of Star Trek? Where we get the old Picard in a wheelchair.
I don't think Picard's, you know, murdering a whole bunch of people or anything like that.
I mean, there's obviously been changes.
He's always pretty much the bastion of hope.
Since Gene died, they've obviously made changes to kind of the rule book of Star Trek, but Star Trek does have some kind of hard and fast rules. I mean, the new show has definitely taken it a couple places. The new movie's taken it a couple places. Even DS9 took it a couple places right after Gene was gone, but I feel like Star Trek has some certain hard and fast rules about optimism and a good future, not a dark, dreary murderverse. So, who knows? We'll see. I mean, it's Patrick Stewart. When has Patrick Stewart ever did something where you're like, yeah, I don't like that. That was dumb. Give me less of whatever that is.
Brought on any of the DC showrunners or anything like that. Like, there's no Titans crossover or anything, is there?
Not, as far as I know, no.
Okay, good.
So, good. Bob, you'll get your Logan one when Picard shows up in the trailer with Johnny Cash just her playing in the background, and you get a Picard Noir release of it in black and white. So, and but Star Trek, big news on TV, but Star Wars also had big news on TV, which is exciting.
Also, we have to be clear. You say on TV, and by on TV, you mean CBS All Access streaming app that maybe you watch on your television?
I think by now, we can say, from this episode going forward, and probably most of the episodes in the past, if we say on television, we could mean any number of streaming services. It's going to be a series, not a movie in a theatrical. Right.
It will be.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, it's like theatrical. We don't say things in on Netflix that are on TV. Like, those are on Netflix. I feel like there is a difference between something that aired on television that I can stream later and something you can only access by buying a subscription to.
Okay, Tyler. Okay. Coming out in series, the Star Wars series coming to release, Jon Favreau's got the reins for that, and it's now said to be worthy of a $100 million budget. $100 million. Me, again, the ghost and I are contemplating what we could do with $100 million here. What would you guys do with $100 million and a full season of Star Wars in your control?
Oh, well, you added that last part. With $100 million, I would make a Star Wars TV show. I mean,
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, if I had $100 million, that would be towards the top of my list.
It's true. If I had $100 million, I'd just use Doofinger puppets and of Star Wars and then keep the $100
million. Keep the rest of the money. Keep it, yeah. But I don't know.
I'm excited about that. Favreau, I like John. I think he does a good job. I think he does really good with, like, large things. I really, really like the first Iron Man.
He hasn't really done anything bad.
No, I mean,
directing wise.
He got some heat for some stuff. I think Iron Man 2, people were unhappy with that. I don't remember. He got enough heat like that he went out and made Chef.
Oh, Chef was fantastic, and I could watch it over and over again. But I feel like the only Iron Man that got flack was that Shane Black who did the third one.
I mean, he's never done a movie that I would be like, that wasn't a good movie. He has produced and or executive produced some television shows where I would be like, yeah, maybe you could have left that one on the shelf. So that worries me a little bit, but I'm still, because he's producing it, but he has also executive produced some other television shows that were less than stellar. Well, he was the executive producer for like the pilot or the first episode of the Shannara Chronicles. He was the executive producer of that Revolution TV show.
The first season of that was all right. Shannara Chronicles, MTV got their hooks into that one. I think you're in a lot of trouble right from the start there.
He directed an episode of Young Sheldon.
All right. All credibility is lost now. He is out on that one. But I don't know. Interesting. And along the same, obviously, same universe. Star Wars also had, now a week or so ago, but we haven't met in a while, so just bringing it up quickly, the cast of Star Wars Episode 9 was announced, along with the fact that it is to be the longest Star Wars movie, a runtime for a Star Wars movie, of the we're at, what, 12 movies, 11 movies now? So 12 if you count the animated Clone Wars, right? Anyways,
but are we counting the Ewok films?
Oh, fair. And does the Christmas special count here? Or is that
come
just
on, buddy.
On the streaming? Anyways, part of the cast, of course, you get, you know, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac, Kelly Marie Tran, Anthony Daniels, Mark Hamill, all coming back, and Domhnall Gleeson is good old General Hux. But we get to reading here from the list, Naomi Aki, Richard E. Grant, Laura Dern and Benicio Del Toro are supposedly, oh no, sorry, they're sidelined. So I should have read the whole sentence before I started reading it out loud on microphone. Anyways, I was kind of shocked that they would be back. They are not. But interesting enough, and of course, I think what the big, the obvious thing about it and what most of the cast shared after the announcement was the, you know, Carrie Fisher's not going to be in it in any kind of way. So no credited role, not even using, you know, what they've captured from the past two, recording from the past two episodes, everything like that. And Mark Hamill, I think, tweeted it best that it's very difficult to record this movie without her on set. So will be interesting for sure, but exciting. Star Wars is continuing, especially after the haters like Bob talking negatively on Solo as of recent. So we're getting more Star Wars either way. And episode 9 will be the longest Star Wars we've had.
And episode 9 gets OG Lando Calrissian. So it's automatically already going to be good.
Oh, yes, that's right. Probably the biggest was Billy Dee Williams returning. So exciting there for sure. But a lot in Star Wars and Star Trek. I mean, that's how often is it that within like a week's time we get multiple Star Wars and Star Trek news? Like it's great. Great to be a fan of both. But speaking of Netflix, we had a few trailers drop here recently. Obviously, you can go back to the website and check out the big Venom trailer 2 that dropped, which got people excited, including me, because I felt like the teaser just really didn't give us anything this one. But more recently, Netflix dropped their trailer for Maniac with Emma Stone and Jonah Hill. Did you guys watch it?
I watched the teaser. I haven't watched the actual new trailer yet, the full trailer.
I saw just a little bit of it. I didn't get to watch the whole thing.
Well, for those of you that did have 2 to 3 minutes of your life available this week, it was a fantastic trailer. Super trippy, crazy, really interesting concept. We've seen the concept vaguely in other things in terms of the overall concept of two characters, different, I don't know, worlds, or is it all in their heads, whatever's going on, but they just keep gravitating back towards each other. Really interesting, really trippy. Also somewhat vague, you know, because there's a lot happening, but definitely marketed as never like you've seen Jonah Hill or Emma Stone before. And I don't know, we've seen Jonah Hill quite a few different ways, so it's hard to say. I haven't seen him quite like this, but Emma Stone further expanding her abilities here, but definitely looks crazy. And it's going to be not just a singular movie or release or anything like that, but a limited run series. And if you're interested in sci-fi, thrillers, trippy mind game shit, whatever it is, all that type of stuff rolled into one here, could be good for you.
We used to call those miniseries back in the day. Do they not use that term anymore? Is that not a thing?
The trailer says limited series.
I know. I know. And I saw that and I was like, we used to call that a miniseries. Is that not a thing we do?
Miniseries was something that aired in the 80s on ABC for 3 nights as a special event with commercials. This is something totally different.
And it wasn't just the 80s. We had Merlin in the 90s.
And Gulliver's Travels with Ted Danson.
That was really good.
That was a really good one. There was a lot of those. Speaking of which, I think you're glossing over the biggest announcement for a limited series that was made that I'm super excited about.
Miniseries, Tyler. Don't feed into the problem. Be part of the solution, buddy.
No, because there already is a miniseries of this. There is already a miniseries adaptation of this, so I'm going to give it...
I think I know what you're talking about. I think I saw something about it.
For those of you who are unaware, they are launching a limited series adaptation. Again, they did originally in the 80s of one of my favorite books, Shogun by James Clavell.
Okay, that was the longest build-up in Nerdcast.
It was.
Listen, Shogun's a big goddamn deal, all right?
I'm not saying it's not. Book, I'm just
chronologically, of the Asian Saga by James Clavell that includes other amazing books like Taipan and King Rat and Guy Jin and Whirlwind. They're all fantastic books, all following the trials and travails of the Strawn Trading Company founded in Hong Kong. And I'm real excited about this because if it does well, maybe they'll make a Taipan miniseries, which would be fucking dope. Read a book.
I like that you slip back into miniseries. Good job, buddy. Good job.
I saw that. Yeah.
The original, if anyone hasn't seen it, the original miniseries aired back in the 80s and had all sorts Richard of really cool people. Richard Chamberlain played, obviously, Ajin's son or the pilot. And then, what's his name? John Rhys Davies played one of the other main characters in it, who's the Spanish pilot on a ship, the Spanish sailor. And it's a whole, it tells the story of a Portuguese, it's a really good book and it could make a really good miniseries. An English pilot who was on a Dutch shipwrecks in feudal Japan in the 1600s and becomes assimilated into Japanese feudal samurai culture. And it's really fucking good. And they deal with like the Portuguese and with all the different daimyos that are fighting, trying to become shogun, and there's samurais and there's heads getting chopped off and there's ninjas and there's a lot of really cool stuff going on.
Okay. I've unmuted myself like 30 times thinking he was going to stop at some point, but I feel like he was watching the unmute and every time it would happen, he would go on. But anyways, Tyler, since you're talking and we're running low on time, why don't you carry that enthusiasm over to some Warcraft news?
I don't know if enthusiasm is the right word for it. It is
maybe obsession.
It's a relapse. We probably need more than that. No, obsession. I'm not that place anymore. This is more a relapse. But as most people are probably aware, if you spend any time on the internet, the ninth expansion for World of Warcraft. So World of Warcraft, Burning Crusade, Wrath of the Lich King, Cataclysm, Mists of Pandaria, Warlords of Draenor, Legion. Eighth? I don't know. There's a new expansion, Battle for Azeroth, comes out a week from today when we recorded this. It comes out on Tuesday. It comes out on the 14th. And every time a new WoW expansion comes out, it's always a huge deal. You get a lot of people like me who haven't played. I did play the last expansion for quite a while, but somewhere between the second to last and the last raid, I quit again. I have since resubscribed about 2 weeks ago and have been playing the lead-up storyline to the new expansion that's coming, and we finally defeated the Burning Legion so we went back to our Warcraft roots, and it's now 100% Alliance versus Horde all over again. We've all done terrible things to make each other angry again, so the Horde and the Alliance are back at each other's throats, including quite a few things that have happened in this like lead up storyline that have made many Warcraft fans, specifically Horde players, very upset. I'm okay with it, but Sylvanas did some... I don't want to go down the lore rabbit hole with you because I've already done it with some friends recently, but a tree got burned down, a lot of elves died, and then there was some blight, and another city... There's a lot of things happening right now. Sylvanas is doing some really crazy stuff. The Horde is... Sarfang's real upset.
Some heavy shit, guys.
There's some heavy shit going on. I'm excited. We're going to get... Obviously, we get new zones, so we get to go to Zandalar. The Zandalari trolls are finally joining the game. We also get to go to... I can't think of the name of the bird where Jane is from, the sea. Like, there's going to be pirates. It's going to be cool. It's going to be fun.
And in a game that people are a lot less enthusiastic about, Adam, you wanted to mention Destiny 2 has something going on as well next month.
Okay, I was going to say, wait, a lot less enthusiastic. That's probably true.
Not less enthusiastic, but their enthusiasm comes from a much more dark and angry place.
It comes from a place of hatred, that's for sure. Yeah, not just next month. So, I mean, obviously next month you get the full, they call it the year 2 expansion. So Destiny Forsaken, it's also coming from a dark and hateful place because in the trailer, they just don't even sugarcoat it or anything. You know, Cade, who is most people's favorite part of the game, gets shot. But leading up to that, at the end of every year, Destiny does a really good job of bringing players back, getting them excited again. And they're doing that this year with an event ongoing right now called the Solstice of Heroes. And it's a way to earn gear. Specifically, it's the only way right now to earn level 400 gear, which would be the highest light level stuff that's available. In true Destiny fashion, people are very excited about that. People are also fairly upset because it is a grind. something like 125 objectives that you have to complete just to get the gear up to that level. And you get 4 weeks to do it. And then when the expansion drops, you'll be getting what is crappy gear that will be better than the gear you just spent 4 weeks trying to make really good. So it's fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm back to playing Destiny. So that's something that, that I'm enjoying and wondering. None of you guys play Destiny. It's just me now, isn't it?
I definitely did buy two and played it for a little bit, but I can't remember the last time I booted it up.
You're missing out, buddy.
Am I, Adam? Because I just listened to you talk about it, and I'm not entirely sure that I am.
I think I'm with Tyler on this one. I hate to go two episodes where all four of us were present to where we agreed with Tyler again, but I'm going to have to agree with Tyler.
I mean, I wish they could find the balance because I definitely hated the grind of one, but I also felt like there was not nearly enough to do in two.
Yes.
All the time leading up to the raid. And now we've just, like, I feel like it's just, they're just a pendulum. It's just,
oh yeah,
here's a thing that we hate this. Let's go back to the exact opposite thing. We hate this too. Should we find a happy middle ground? No. Going back to the first thing, full bore. That has been the story of Destiny since the first initial launch of it, I feel like.
Yeah. No, it's, but I mean, you're right. I am passionate about playing that game and talking with my friends about it while we're playing. And we'll play for 3 hours and we'll discuss how much we dislike playing it, but we play it for 3 hours. Like we could switch games. Other games we could play.
What you are describing to me sounds super, super healthy and you should continue to do that.
It is. It's
Stockholm syndrome, anyone?
It's super.
Have you ever heard of the sunk cost fallacy?
I have, and I'm way past being able to get out. I understand what's happened here. I have put in way too much time, and they have an app that will tell you exactly how much time you've put in, and that's scary to look at. I don't want to do it.
So real quick, before we wrap up some things, Project Nerd News, and then, of course, our final thoughts as we are running out of time. Warner Brothers did announce this week also that Supergirl will have a full-length feature film that will be released in theaters, not as a limited series on a select streaming service.
Is that with a different Supergirl or the one they're using in the CW?
Just like Flash and everything else, CW, it will not be connected to the DC Extended Universe. So this should be part of the DC Extended Universe where we still have a new Batman film to come, Wonder Woman 2, Aquaman, New Gods.
How many of those Joker movies are tied to the
Joker, DC? I don't know. They
all
are
four of them, or only one
the
of them.
When they announce something, they're kind of non-committal about it. They're like, if you like it, it's going to be part of the DCE. If you don't like it, we may just say we released a movie and we're going to recast those characters in the next.
I feel like they need to retroactively add the ability to remove things from the canon.
Right?
Like, yeah, that one actually is not part of the DC. Yeah, but it had all the same actors. Like there was a crossover thing. Like one, no, wasn't part of the canon.
No, it was.
They're making like 12 Joker movies. Mark Maron's even in one of them.
Yeah,
it's getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand. Also getting out of hand, but in a good way. Seth Rogen trying to bring back American Gladiators to television. So if that happens, let's go for some late Saturday nights.
Wasn't that just rebooted not that long ago?
That was like 10, 15 years ago now, dude.
We're old. Yeah, no, they did it again. Did they do it again?
I feel like it's been rebooted.
Ninja Warrior, whatever that show is called, where they do the same thing. That's not people with steroids stopping regular people
from doing things. That's just really athletic people doing cool shit. So completely different, Adam. Completely different.
You need to stop watching those miniseries, Adam.
Anyways, it is August. Project Nerd back on the con scene. We will be at Colorado Springs Comic Con August 24th through 26th. Yep, those are the right dates. August 24th to 26th in Colorado Springs at the Chapel Hills Event Center. Project Nerd will be on. You won't see us necessarily on the floor in terms of booth-wise, but you'll see our blue shirts all over the place. And of course, we'll be helping run, record, and moderate panels, and check us out online too that weekend because we'll have a lot of the internet's good. I don't want to fully commit here because we all know how convention center internet can get. If the internet's good, we'll have some live streams with celebrity Q&As and things like that as we'll be hanging out in the green room at a little special Project Nerd booth. However, the week before that, which I will be bringing up a lot this next time we record, because it'll be dropping on the day our next episode airs, is the Idols New Beginnings Kickstarter. That's right. Project Nerd Publishing may not be around anymore, but I'm still making comics. We're still making comics. Project Nerd's still pushing comics. And it's Idols New Beginnings. And it is the story of Samantha Reed shortly after her 21st birthday when she finds out about her incredible powers. Often thought to be legend, the deity Tsukau has long existed inhabiting the bodies of young women from generation to generation. Now Samantha, with those powers, must decide to use them for good or evil. So page 1 through 10 already assembled in a PDF for those early backers to be able to preview the first about 20% of the story. So a pretty significant amount. So if you jump on early, we'll get you a good preview of what's going on. But of course, when that Kickstarter launches, we got some awesome perks. As always, our graphic novel with the variant cover graphic novel, some cool art prints, t-shirts. But what I'm really excited about this time is a full-blown Idols skateboard deck.
Yes, yes, sir.
You can get a skateboard with Samantha on there for Idols. Pretty awesome. And then as always, the drawn into character advertising options or retail bundles that you can always find with our Kickstarters over on the Project Nerd one. So next Friday, this episode airs. If you're listening to this one, you'll probably listen to the next one. So when you listen to the next one is when you'll go to Kickstarter or Project Nerd and search for that Idols New Beginnings Kickstarter. With that, I'll quit plugging our stuff and I'll even count that as my final thought. But I'm sure you three gentlemen want to throw out a final thought. So, Bob, why don't you get us started?
All right. Hey, I said an
You've said a lot. Don't worry.
Okay. This coming Tuesday, you'll be able to pick up your copy of Avengers Infinity War. And then the week following, you can pick up the super duper copy of Deadpool 2, which has 15 minutes extended version. So it's actually included in the film, so you get a 15-minute longer cut. Yes, these are my 2 and 3 best films of the summer compared to Mission Impossible, but definitely wants to pick up.
I have a question for you. How many versions? I was going to say what versions, but the more appropriate question is how many versions of Avengers are you picking up next Tuesday?
Well, I got to get the Steelbook, and Target has a really nice little book with it, so maybe 2. So who knows who will get a copy of that digital code?
My kids would appreciate it. Anyways, Adam, what's up with you?
Well, play video games, obviously. I've been doing that. Another thing I've been doing, though, Castle Rock is live on Hulu. So drop date was the 25th, I think. You got 4 episodes then, and now you're getting an episode every Wednesday. I consider staying up late Tuesday night and watching it because it goes live midnight Eastern time, which is kind of neat. So the farther west you guys are, if you're in California, that means you can watch it at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night. So new episodes every week from now on. Really, really good so far. I'm enjoying the acting. Sissy Spacek, you get Bill Skarsgård, you got lots of good people in there. I would recommend it. It's fun. It's intriguing. I am curious as to where they're going. I'm curious as to how they're going to tie more stuff together. So if you have Hulu and you like Stephen King stories and Stephen King type stuff, definitely check that out.
All right, Tyler, your final thought, or AKA what Tyler is reading now, which, by the way, your Goodreads is out of date.
Is it? Have I not updated in a while?
Yeah, I think it was May is the last time it said you were reading a new book, which I know you're already on to the next.
Yeah, I should probably update that. I'll take a look at it. Sometimes I forget to. It's built into the Kindle now, so I usually just have it. It does it automatically, but sometimes it doesn't always work. I'm actually stockpiling books right now. I'm not actually actively reading something right now, because literally the minute I get off of this podcast, I am going to finish packing, and in the next 24 hours, I will get on an airplane. And then I will be on a beach and I will be reading books and drinking beers and getting a tan in Jamaica. So fuck you guys.
Well, many thanks there, because one, I am a day walker or part ginger, so there's no beach and tan ever in my future, but also jealous of Jamaican part. Anyway,
I will 100% send sun-drenched photos of myself having a glorious time in Jamaica.
And we will 100% ignore them. But Anyways, have fun on your trip, and congratulations to Tyler's brother there for getting married in, of all places, awesome Jamaica. So we are a little jealous of that. Maybe next time he can let us all stand in the wedding. Hopefully there's not a next time. That got dark quick. Anyways, jeez, 162. Baby. Let's get out of here for 162. Until next week when we're back for episode 163. I'm only saying it so much because that's right. I remembered what episode we were on this week. So with that, for Adam, Bob, Tyler, and myself, Iggy, until next time, same nerd time, same nerd channel.